الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، وصلى الله وسلم بارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد وصلنا ولله الحمد في كتاب العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية شرح محمد بن صالح بن عثيمين رحمه الله إلى التكلم عن الفرق التي ظهرت في أول الإسلام وكيف انقسمت وما هي العقيدة التي هم عليها. So we made it excuse me last week alhamdulillah into the beginning of breaking down the various groups and what their methodologies and their belief system, where did they differ, because now we've established that everybody agrees about the tawheed of rububiyyah, the lordship, even non-Muslims, and all Muslims predominantly agree to the tawheed al-uluhiyyah, meaning Allah should be the only object of worship, except those who have worshipped graves and other than Allah, or those who have deviated tremendously like the Shia and others who have made Ali a god and what have you, as we mentioned, like the Khawarij in the early times. But the major aspect of tawheed which the Muslims differ about until today tremendously excuse me, is tawheed al-asma' wa-sifat, the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh rahimahullah says, فَانْقَسَمُوا فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ إِلَى أَقْسَامٍ مُتَعَدِّدَةٍ قِسْمٌ قَالُوا. So they have divided in terms of the names and attributes of Allah into a number of groups, number of divisions. A group of them said, لَا يَجُوزُ أَبَدًا أَنْ نَصِفَ اللَّهَ لَا بِوُجُودٍ وَلَا بِعَدَمٍ لأنه إذا إن وصف بالوجود أشبه الموجودات، وإن وصف بالعدم أشبه المعدومات، وعليه يجب نفي الوجود والعدم عنه. Look at this crazy stuff. We call it crazy because it is crazy. A group of them said, it is not permissible to describe Allah as existing. You cannot say Allah exists. Furthermore, you cannot say that Allah is non-existing. You cannot say that Allah doesn't exist. Huh? You cannot say Allah exists. You cannot claim that Allah exists, and you cannot claim that Allah is non-existent. Because if you describe Him, or if you claim that Allah exists, then you are comparing Allah to the other existing things. And that shouldn't be done according to their intellect. Now if they put the Quran aside, and they put the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ on the other side, these are people who are using Greek philosophy and philosophers who came and introduced this ilm al-kalam, known as ilm al-kalam. Many Sufis are famous for that, the knowledge of speech, and it's based on philosophy and intellect. Although these people have lost their intellect, yet they want to understand Allah according to mind, not realizing that the people indeed vary in their understanding, and the minds of people are not the same. And Allah Azza wa Jal had made a variation among His creation in terms of understanding. That's why He revealed something that is the basis, that is textual evidence, which which does not negate intellect, and which could be the reference when there's difference, not what individuals understand. So this is very fundamental, because they say if you describe Allah as existing, then you are comparing Him to existing other existing things. And if you claim that if you describe Him as non-existent, then you are comparing Allah to the non-existent things, things that don't exist. And because of that, according to them, you should negate both existence and non-existence to Allah. So you cannot say, if somebody says, does Allah exist? According to them, you cannot say yes. And if somebody says, Is Allah non-existent? According to them, you cannot say yes either. Where do you go? Huh? Where is it? This is mystery, man. وَمَا ذَهَبُوا إِلَيْهِ فَهُوَ تَشْبِيهٌ لِلْخَالِقِ بِالْمُمْتَنِعَاتِ وَالْمُسْتَحِيلَاتِ. And basically what the methodology or the path that they have traveled upon is that it is comparing Allah to things that are impossible, comparing Allah to impossible things. لأن تقابل العدم والوجود تَقَابُلِ نَقِيدَيْن. Because the opposition of existent and non-existent is the opposition of two things that are opposite to each other. يعني they contradict one another. وَالنَّقِيدَانِ لَا يَجْتَمِعَانِ وَلَا يَرْتَفِعَانِ. And the things that contradict each other, they cannot be combined and they cannot rise. وَكُلُّ عُقُولِ بَنِ آدَمْ تُنْكِرْ هَذَا الشَّيْءُ وَلَا تَقْبَلُهُ. He says, and all the minds of the son of the children of Adam refuse that thing, and it does not accept it. So look how they try to run away from something and they fell into something that is much more evil than the original thing. So they try to run away from comparing Allah to His creation. They wind up going into a path that is much, much more evil than what they thought they were running away from by negating the attributes of Allah and saying that Allah doesn't exist. And Allah says, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومُ. It is Allah, there is no God worthy of worship but He, the living. To them now you have an issue with these attributes, because you cannot describe Allah as being someone as existing, as an existing being. This is the first group. وَقِسْمٌ آخَرٌ قَالُوا نَصِفُهُ بِالنَّفِي وَلَا نَصِفُهُ بِالْإِثْبَاتِ. يعني أنهم يجوزون أن تسلب عن الله سبحانه وتعالى الصفات لكن لا تثبت. The other group said, we only describe Allah with negation, but we will not describe Him with any affirmation. What does that mean? What that means, it is okay to describe Allah with negating attributes. For example, لم يلد. He never begets. طيب, this is a لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. No sleep or slumber overtakes him. Any attribute of negation, they believe. Any attribute of affirming Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, they don't accept. Huh? Because they are confirming the attribute of Allah. Anything that affirms the attribute of Allah, they say we cannot accept it. But anything that negates it, no problem with that. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? So all the attributes in the Quran that describe Allah in terms of negating, لم يكن له كفوا أحد, and there is none equal to Him, this is negating. The kind of description here is negating that Allah has nothing that is equal to Him Azza wa Jal. They accept that. But Allah As-Samad, they don't accept that, because the first one is affirming the attribute of absolute, As-Samad, the absolute, according to one interpretation. But they cannot accept. But they can accept وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ, and He is no equal to Him. Why? Because He has no equal. The fact that there's no negating, they accept. Anything that affirms, they do not accept. يعني لا نقول هو حي إنما نقول ليس بميت. So we do not say Allah is alive, rather we say Allah is not dead. You cannot say Allah is alive, hay, but you can say Allah is not dead. So the second one they accept. Why? Because لا يموت, عفوا, ليس بميت, He is not dead. The fact that there's He is not, they like that. They like that, they like that aspect of negation. But to affirm it, هو الحي, oh no, can't go there. طيب, ولا نقول عليم بل نقول ليس بجاهل. الله المستعان. And we don't say Allah is the most knowledgeable, rather we say Allah is not ignorant. They cannot affirm that Allah is most knowledgeable, but they can say Allah is not ignorant. Why? Because there's negation. وهكذا, and such. وقالوا لو أثبت له شيئا شبهته, لو أثبت له شيئا شبهته بالموجودات. Because if you confirm and affirm an attribute of Allah, then you are comparing Him to the creation. You are comparing Him to things that already exist, like our attributes. You say you are alive, huh? You have basar, you are basir. You have sama', you are sami', and what have you. So they're trying to run away from comparing Allah to His creation. Again, they fell into something that is more evil, where they wind up negating and denying the Quran. Allah calls Himself in the Quran, هو الله الحي, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. Allah calls Himself with this. How are you going to say no? أعوذ بالله. لأنه على زعمهم كل الأشياء موجود الأشياء الموجودة متشابهة. Because according, why are they doing this? Because according to them, all things that exist, everything that exists, they have they are similar. All existing things are similar. So if you compare Allah, if you also attribute to Allah attributes of affirming, then you are comparing Allah to the rest of the creation which have, which are existing. Again, it's a lot of philosophy. If you don't understand it, good. You don't need to understand يعني something that doesn't make sense. If you do and you can understand it and know the truth, excellent. If this is not making sense to you, no problem, because it doesn't make sense in reality. It's a bunch of people that is just trying to overwork themselves for nothing.
Like they said, that too much knowledge is dangerous.
Well, in this case, yes, because it's knowledge that Allah didn't reveal. Otherwise, too much knowledge of Islam is never dangerous. That's good, yeah. But too much knowledge of things that Allah didn't reveal, Allah musta'an. طيب. فأنت لا تثبت له شيئا. وأما النفي فهو عدم مع أن الموجود في الكتاب والسنة في صفات الله من الإثبات أكثر من النفي بكثير. So as I said, you do not affirm anything to Allah, but it's okay to negate. You negate. He said, فهو عدم عن ال... So he said, and the interesting thing is that the description in the Quran and the Sunnah of the attributes of Allah, those that affirm are much, much more than those that negate. Huh? Because you say, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. All these are affirming. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. Affirming, 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 affirming. Then you will find somewhere along the lines, ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Huh? And other attributes of negation. You will, in comparison, the book Quran and the Sunnah, predominantly it's affirming the attributes of Allah, much more than negating. So according to them, you wind up rejecting the majority of the Quran, because you only believe in the little few examples where Allah Azza wa Jal described Himself in the sense of negation. We will see some examples, inshallah, as we go through the book. طيب. قيل لهم إن الله قال عن نفسه سميع بصير. It was said to them, these so-called intelligent people, Allah called Himself in the Quran سميع بصير. He is all hearing, all seeing. Right? It's in the Quran. قالوا هذا من باب الإضافات. بمعنى نسب إليه السمع لا لأنه متصف به. They said this is from this is an example of just additions. This is just an addition. They said meaning we add to Allah Azza wa Jal hearing, but it doesn't mean that Allah has that quality. We say that Allah hears, but it doesn't mean that Allah has the quality of hearing. Again, twisted minds. ولكن لأن له مخلوقا يسمع. But because he has some sort of creation that hears, so he hears through that. فهو من باب الإضافات. So it is just a matter of addition. فسميع يعني ليس له سمع لكن له مسموع. So سميع to them, it doesn't mean that Allah has a hearing ability. Rather they say that he has the means to hear. يعني going around like this. وجاء طائفة ثانية. Another group said, قالوا هذه الأوصاف لمخلوقاته وليست له أما هو فلا يثبت له صفة. الله المستعان. Another group said these attributes are only for his creation. As for Allah, we do not affirm any attribute. We do not affirm that Allah is سميع بصير. يعني some of them did تأويل. They try to interpret it a certain way where they kind of get by. A part of them, a group of them, they were straight up. They said no Habibi, سميع بصير, no way. No way Allah is all hearing, all seeing. Only the creation, only us, we are all hearing, all seeing. As for Allah, they cannot accept that. They do not affirm that. Second group. Third group. وقسم ثالث قالوا يثبت له الأسماء دون الصفات وهؤلاء هم المعتزلة أثبتوا أسماء الله قالوا إن الله سميع بصير قدير عليم حكيم لكن قدير بلا قدرة سميع بلا سمع بصير بلا بصر عليم بلا علم حكيم بلا حكمة لا إله إلا الله. A third group said, we affirm to Allah only the name, but not the attribute. Only the name, but not the actual attribute. And these are the Mu'tazila. They are called the Mu'tazila. They affirm the names of Allah. So they say Allah is all hearing, all seeing, all capable, all knowledgeable and all wise. But Allah is all capable without, we call him Qadir, but without the ability. And we call him all hearing, but without the ability to hear. And all seeing without the ability to see. And all knowledgeable but without knowledge. And all wise but without wisdom. You understand what I'm saying? Yani, this phone, it's called an Eaton phone. Tayyib, I tell you it's called Eaton, and you only believe me in terms of the name, but you don't believe that the actual software is Eaton. Although I'm telling you, look, this is an Eaton phone, and it's an Eaton software. It has Windows 5.0. You say, because it says Eaton on it, you will accept that name. But as for what is inside, no. So you say he has an Eaton phone without an Eaton software. And an Eaton phone without the Windows. And an Eaton phone that doesn't function. So you only accept the name of the item, but you don't accept the quality behind it. So they're trying to be wise. They said, since Allah called these things about Himself in the Quran, we cannot really outwardly deny them. If Allah calls Himself Sami', we cannot say Allah is not, because Allah calls Himself Sami', but we will only accept the name, the title. As for the essence of the quality of the ability to hear, no. We say Allah is Sami', because Allah calls Himself Sami', but we don't believe that Allah can hear. Notice now. Fourth group. قالوا وقسم الرابع قالوا نثبت له الأسماء حقيقة ونثبت له صفات معينة دل عليها العقل وننكر الباقي. A fourth group, less dangerous than the ones before, they said, we will affirm the names in truth, and we will believe and affirm some of the qualities of Allah which the mind accepts. Which the mind accepts, but we will deny the rest. So they chose from the 99 names and attributes of Allah, five of them, I think. It's a few of them. Maybe five or six, I don't remember. We will see. Those they accept. Because mind indicates that yes. But all the other ones that according to the mind, Allah cannot have, then they deny them. So they are like the ones before, but they have extra five qualities that the ones before deny. These people believe in these few qualities, and they deny the rest. And they only accepted these qualities because their intellect allowed them to do so. وَالْبَاقِ نُنْكِرُهُ تَحْرِيفًا لَا تَكْذِيبًا. And the rest we will deny in terms of interpretation and twisting the meaning, not by belying it. Because they know that if belied, they become kuffar. لِأَنَّهُمْ لَوْ أَنْكَرُوهُ تَكْذِيبًا كَفَرُوا لَكِنْ يُنْكِرُوهُ تَحْرِيفًا وَهُوَ مَا يَدَّعُونَ أَنَّهُ تَأْوِيلٌ. So they say, so they will deny the meaning, but they will not reject it. Because they know if they reject it, then they have disbelieved. So they will deny it through twisting the meaning. And this is what they call ta'wil, interpretation. Meaning we will interpret the particular quality in this fashion. Trying to play around with the deen of Allah. الصفات السبع هي مجموعة في قوله. And they have a poet who put the seven qualities that they believe. They're not five. They're seven qualities that they affirm of Allah, that their mind allowed them to do so. له الحياة والكلام والبصر سمع إرادة وعلم واقتدر واقتدر. They say the poem or the verse in poetry says, to him is the life and speech and sight and hearing and will and knowledge and ability. These are the seven that they confirm. And all the rest, no. Ar-Rahman, no. Ar-Rahim, no. Al-Malik, Quddus, no, 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 no. They only accept these seven because they say mind indicates that Allah has them.
What are the seven?
Life, speech, sight, hearing, will, knowledge, and ability. فهذه الصفات نثبتها لأن العقل دل عليها وبقية الصفات ما دل عليها العقل فنثبت ما دل عليه العقل وننكر ما لا يدل عليه العقل وهؤلاء هم الأشاعرة آمنوا بالبعض وأنكروا البعض. So they say these qualities, we will affirm whatever the mind accepts and we will deny whatever the mind doesn't accept. So whatever the mind accepts, we will accept, and whatever the mind rejects, we will reject. And these are known as the Asha'ira. This is the name of this sect. Al-Asha'ira. They believed in some, and they rejected some. The Shaykh says, رحمه الله تعالى, فهذه أقسام التعطيل في الأسماء والصفات وكلها متفرعة من بدعة الجهم ومن سن في الإسلام سنة سيئة فعليه وزرها ووزر من عمل بها إلى يوم القيامة. The Shaykh رحمه الله said, these are the groups of تعطيل, which is denying or rejecting the names and attributes of Allah. وكلها متفرعة من بدعة الجهم, and all of them are branches from the innovation of Jahm, which is the first person to come with this bid'ah. I believe his name is Jahm bin Safwan. We will double check that soon, inshallah. So then the Shaykh mentioned, and whomever innovates into Islam and innovation, he shall have the evil of its consequence for him, and everyone who does the same action according to his teachings until the day of judgment. Yani he started this thing, all of these people who deviated, he will get a sin equal to all of them besides his, because he's the one who started this innovation, unless he had repented to Allah before he died, and we do not know of that. So we will see how it goes, inshallah. فالحاصل أنكم أيها الإخوة لو طالعتم في كتب القوم التي تعتني بجمع أقاويل الناس في هذا الأمر لرأيتم العجب العجاب الذي تقولون كيف يتفوه عاقل فضلا عن مؤمن بمثل هذا الكلام. He says, the bottom line, my brothers, is that if you were to read upon the books of these people who take great care in gathering these statements of the people regarding this affair, you will see amazing things. Your mind will be puzzled. And you will say, how would a person with a sane mind, let alone a believer, how would a person with a functioning mind, let alone a believer, would say such words, would come up with such statements? ولكن ومن لم يجعل الله له نورا فما له من نور. But the Shaykh said, but as Allah says in Surah An-Nur, verily whomever Allah does not give any light shall have no light. Allah did not give him the light of understanding. May Allah give us the light of understanding. فالذي أعمى الله بصيرته كالذي أعمى الله بصره. So whomever Allah has blinded his understanding is equal to the one whom Allah has blinded his sight. Because Allah says, إنها لا تعمل أبصار إنما تعمل قلوب التي في الصدور. Allah says, it is not the sight that goes blind. Rather, it is the hearts and the chest that goes blind. A person doesn't understand even if he sees. Just like the disbeliever. They see the creation of Allah. They see the ability of Allah. They see the mercy of Allah. They see the truth from Allah. But the hearts don't understand. It's not that the eye doesn't see. It's the heart that doesn't see. And Allah has put shields upon it because of the initial rejection to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَكَمَا أَنَّ أَعْمَى الْبَصَرَ أَعْمَى الْبَصَرِ لَوْ وَقَفَ أَمَامَ الشَّمْسِ الَّتِي تَكْسِرُ نُورَ الْبَصَرِ لَمْ يَرَهَا فكذلك من أعمى الله بصيرته لو وقف أمام أنوار الحق ما رآها والعياذ بالله. So the Shaykh said, and just like if a blind person will stand in front of the sun and stare at it, the sun that that will يعني harm you, if your sight was functioning without the sunglasses to look at the sun, you can't do it. You cannot do it. The same way a blind person, it doesn't matter to him. Even if he has his eyes open, he looks at the sun, it doesn't matter to him because the sight is absent. He says, such are the people whom their hearts are blind. Whomever Allah blinds their heart, they stand in front of the light of the truth and they do not see it. And we seek refuge in Allah. ولهذا ينبغي لنا دائما أن نسأل الله تعالى الثبات على الأمر وأن لا يزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هدانا لأن الأمر خطير والشيطان يدخل على ابن آدم من كل صوب ومن كل وجه ويشككه في عقيدته وفي دينه وفي كتاب الله وسنة رسوله فهذه هي الحقيقة البدع التي انتشرت في الأمة الإسلامية. The Shaykh said, this is why it is upon us it is upon us to consistently ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep us firm on this affair and not to mislead or turn away our hearts after Allah had guided us. Because verily the affair is dangerous. And the devil, the Satan, the shaitan, he enters upon the son of Adam from every angle and from every, in every way. He keeps him trying, he makes him doubt his own belief system and his own creed. And he makes him doubt the book of his messenger, the book of his Lord, the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, and verily this is the truth about the innovation that has spread into the Muslim nation, into Islam. ولكن, now this is the comforting part, alhamdulillah. ولكن ولله الحمد ما ابتدع أحد بدعة إلا قيض الله له بمنه وكرمه من يبين هذه البدعة ويدحضها بالحق وهذا من تمام مدلول قوله تبارك وقول الله تبارك وتعالى إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون. But he said, but, and all praise is due to Allah, no person has ever innovated into Islam and innovation except that Allah has assigned someone through Allah's generosity and bounty that this person shall expose this innovation and shall fight it and shall expose it and make the truth, demolish it, demolish that particular bid'ah, as Allah says in the Quran. And he says, and this is a manifestation of the verse in the Quran, verily we have sent down the remembrance and we shall protect it. And part of the protection is that there's no way that the people will be able to innovate so much that the actual teachings of Islam will be lost. Because this will negate the verse in the Quran. Allah promised it will be protected. And there's no way it can be protected unless someone upon the truth is always explaining to the people the truth. No matter how many innovations come. Otherwise, if innovations overcome all the sunnah, and excuse me, there'll be absolutely no more sunnah, then this will be not in accordance to the verse in the Quran that Allah will protect His deen. So this is a manifestation. And among those, the Shaykh will mention, Surah Al-Na'am, هذا من حفظ الله لهذا الذكر وهذا أيضا من مقتدى حكمة الله جل عز وجل لأن الله تعالى جعل محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم خاتم النبيين والرسالة لا بد أن تبقى في الأرض وإلا لكان للناس حجة على الله. And he says, and this is also from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that there's always someone from the sunnah fighting and exposing the innovation and exposing and revealing the truth to the people. Excuse me. This is Allah musta'an. Tayyib. Na'am. So because Allah Azza wa Jalla has made Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the seal of all prophets. And this is something that we all agree to, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, you're no longer a Muslim. And the message has to remain upon earth. The message of Islam has to remain. Because in the previous times, the message may have been gone. But Allah Azza wa Jal will send another prophet or another messenger with a new revelation. So something was always there for the people. So they will not have an excuse on the Day of Judgment. The fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger, and there will be none coming after him, his message cannot go away. And this is something very important that we need to know in terms of da'wah. Because I usually, personally, I take new Muslims from our da'wah center, walaikum salam, every Monday to the court after they embrace Islam and they learn the basics of Islam. After 1 month, we take him to court so they can give him an official certificate. Faddal, yes, faddal. We can give him an official certificate of becoming Muslims. And I ask him on the way there in the bus, it's part of my job in the da'wah center, I ask him some questions to see where they are. And very often I ask him, we start with the messengers. What is the miracle of Nuh? Oh, the ark and the ship. What's the miracle of Ibrahim? Allah threw him in the fire, didn't burn him. What's the miracle of Musa? The stick. What's the miracle of Jesus giving life to the dead by the will of Allah? What's the miracle of Muhammad? No answer. Ya akhwan, what's the miracle of Muhammad? No answer. Every occasion somebody says splitting the moon. And this is very dangerous. Huh? What do you mean? The miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is this man? And it's a very special miracle. Why? Because if you, just so you will use this in future, inshallah, and da'wah. Ya akhi, you're dealing with an atheist. Somebody who doesn't believe in God. You tell him, you know Moses split the ocean? He tell you, yeah, yeah. He'll say, have you ever seen it? You have it on camera? Say, no. He says, well, how do you believe? Say, I believe. He says, you crazy man. You believe anything people say? Huh? I tell you that maybe 10 years ago, 100 years ago, people said that the devil came to earth and he conquered the whole sky and he was cooking steak. And people say this. You believe it? You say no. He say, why? The people say it. You say, yeah, but he can corner you. The bottom line, he can put you in the corner. Because at the end of the day, you could say, I have faith. To him, you're crazy. Because you haven't seen anything. So you're believing in nonsense. Now this is, so why? The miracles of the prophets died with them. Only those who seen it with their own eye are those who can test to it. Otherwise, those who came after, they can only believe based on faith. But we have never seen it, yet we believe. To an atheist, that doesn't make any sense. Now, if they want to do the same thing against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they cannot do the same. They say, no, you don't need to see what he did. I have the miracle with me now. Come to my house. Let's go to a bookstore. This is the miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't need to have a video camera. You don't need to be there to see it. Now, Allah challenged you in this Quran, first and foremost, to come up with one small chapter just for me. 10 verses, 10 words. Surah Al-Kawthar. Huh? Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. 10 words. Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَلْنَا عَلَى عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ. If you are in doubt about what we have revealed upon our servant, come with one chapter like it. The smallest chapter is the Kawthar. Say, please, take 10 years, learn Arabic. And then just write one chapter for me like the Quran. This is the challenge. When you meet this challenge, then we could say, okay, this is not from Allah. Until you do so, you cannot prove otherwise. Because it's upon you to negate it. Find a contradiction between Islam and science, between the Quran and any scientific fact about the human embryo or this, anything in the Quran and science. We'll not be able to do so. So the miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained after his death. Because he's the final prophet, his miracle is not like the miracles of the other prophets, a stick or something that you can no longer see. Rather, his miracle has to live after him. So no one will have an excuse on the Day of Judgment. I never met Muhammad. I wasn't there. I wasn't living in the desert. I was living in Greece. I was living in China. No excuse. This is what you were supposed to follow. Had, whether you seen him sallallahu alaihi wasallam or you haven't seen him, what he was given as from Allah remained after him. So all this is involved in this particular subject matter, that Allah will protect this deen and Islam has to remain for the creation. Why? As the Shaykh says, because otherwise people will have an excuse on the Day of Judgment with Allah. They will say, I didn't get anything. Islam was all innovations and there was no truth in it. No, Allah has always assigned someone to expose them. وإذا نعم وإذا وإذا كانت رسالة لابد أن تبقى في الأرض لزم أن يقيد الله عز وجل نعم. So the Sheikh says, if the message was to remain upon earth, then it becomes compulsory that Allah عز وجل will assign someone بمقتضى حكمته عند كل بدعة من يبينها ويكشف عورها. وهذا هو الحاصل. So it is from the wisdom of Allah عز وجل that for every innovation there will be someone who will expose it and he will show the issue, the problem with it. And this is the bottom line. وَلِهَذَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ دَائِمًا إِحْرَصُوا عَلَى الْعِلْمِ. Now the Shaykh is advising his students. Because this book, by the way, was not written. This book was delivered in tafsir of the Shaykh. Then his students are the ones who transcribed it into the book. So the Shaykh said to his students, that's why I advise you, be keen on knowledge. Be keen on seeking knowledge. We need knowledge in this particular day. لأننا في هذا البلد في المستقبل في مستقبل إذا لم نتسلح بالعلم المبني على الكتاب والسنة فيوشك أن يحل بنا ما حل في غيرنا من البلاد الإسلامية. And this is a fact, wallahi. The Shaykh رحمه الله said, because we are in this particular country, he's speaking at the Mamlaka, Saudiya, in the future, if we are not armed with knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, we are about to suffer from what the other Muslim countries have suffered from. And you see what the other Muslim countries have suffered from. If you go to India, you see people go into a grave and they do sujood. Man with a big lihya, big beard, you think he's the sheikh of the mashayikh, going on the ground making sujood, throwing a letter, to a dead person in the grave. If we don't have knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, then this may happen here. And we seek refuge in Allah from that. وَهَذَا الْبَلَدُ الْآنِ هُوَ الَّذِي يُرَكِّزُ عَلَيْهِ أَعْدَاءِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَيُسَلِّطُونَ عَلَيْهِ سِهَامِهِمْ. He says, and this country is the one that all the enemies of Islam are focusing on now. And they are pointing their arrows towards it. مِنْ أَجْلَ أَنْ يُضِلُّ أَهْلَهِ. In order to misguide the people here. فَلِذَلِكَ تَسَلَّحُوا بِالْعِلْمِ حَتَّى تَكُونُوا عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّنْ أَمْرِ دِينِكُمْ. That's why I advise you to arm yourself with knowledge. So you'll be upon clear knowledge, clear evidence regarding your deen. وَحَتَّى تَكُونُوا مُجَاهِدِينَ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَقْلَامِكُمْ لِأَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. In order for you to become mujahideen, those who strive with your tongues and with your pens against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And يعني this is, by the way, among the ways, just as an addition from me, not from the book. The enemies of Islam now, they're trying to make it into here through the satellite dish. This satellite dish that the people have taken very lightly, يعني the epitome of shirk and innovations are in what they present to the people. Even the simplest seeming cartoon. When you think of this cartoon, you know, you think it's just for the children, Disney and not Disney, let the child watch the Little Mermaid and, you know, Beauty and the Beast and salam to Allah and what have you. You know what the Little Mermaid concept is all about? The Little Mermaid, what is it about? You think it's just a cool cartoon, huh? Look how much evil is in it. You're talking about a half-naked woman who's wearing only a bra and the rest of her body is a fish. We're not worried about the fish part. We're worried about the upper part. Huh? With her makeup under the water, somehow she has full hair and makeup. Her concept is to run away from her father, which is disobedience, عقوق الوالدين, huh? To disobey the parents in order to fall in love with the man who lives on the surface of earth. That's really what it's about. And everything else is just little nonsense. In order to send this kind of mentality and ideology to the children who watch and get brainwashed. So when they reach the age of 16, even indirectly, they don't have to think of the Little Mermaid. Their mind works in a fashion where I want to fall in love with X-Men, and why do I have to wear this hijab, and I do things behind my father's back, and I mistreat my father, I run away from him, and the parents wonder what happened to my children. I thought they were doing salah, I thought they used to fast in Ramadan. Why? Because the essence of tarbiyah, the raising of the children, they were raised by the TV. And they were raised by the kuffar. And the kuffar, they're not dumb. They know what they're doing. They know how to bring you the poison and the cake. He doesn't come and tell you, I have one kilo of poison. You want to come and die with me? He will say, no, thank you. He will tell you, look at this delicious cake that I have here. And he'll put the poison inside. So you come, oh, mashallah, tabarakallah. And he kills you anyways. We need to be more mindful of that. And we need to be, I mean, if you have children, it's a serious affair, wallah. So now they're trying to destroy this country through this particular concept. And so the youth over here are trying to imitate يعني, the non-Muslims. And we have in the Messenger of Allah وسلم, the best example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنٌ. We have in the Messenger of Allah the best example. They're trying to misguide the youth over here. So they're no longer concerned about the Quran and the Sunnah. Their main concern is Tupac and Biggie Smalls and 50 Cent and all these rappers and singers and artists and actors. Who are the garbage of people? These are the people where their whole life is drugs and alcohol and fornication and haram and lying and cursing and يعني they're evil people, man. But these are the examples of the youth. So if you have a satellite dish and you have a light and some gasoline, Allah will reward you. And turn on the Ida'at al-Quran al-Kareem. Or get some sort of beneficial knowledge for the children, make them a nice little library at home of nice interesting stories. It does, يعني, they're not going to be memorizing fiqh books, they're children, but there's interesting Islamic material that we could raise our children so they could defend this deen. Because somebody has to defend this deen. If it's not us, Allah will assign someone else. So we only try to partake of the, يعني, get a slice of the pizza as they say. Allah will defend this deen with us or without us. It's a given. You either take part and be in, يعني, wise, or you sit back and watch the people do it. And you'll be among the losers. وكل هذه البدع انتشرت بعد الصحابة. فالصحابة رضوان الله عليهم لم يكونوا يبحثون في هذه الأمور. لأنهم يتلقون الكتاب والسنة على ظاهرهما وعلى ما تقتضيه الفطرة والفطرة السليمة سليمة. He said all these innovations only were spread into Islam after the time of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Excuse me. Because the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, may Allah be pleased with them, they used to not debate or argue and go into these affairs. They would not go into these affairs of we accept this to Allah but we do not accept that. Only the things that the mind accept, we accept. The things that the mind accept, doesn't accept. Only the affirming, we reject. The negation, you know what I'm saying? We accept. They did not go into all of that. Why? Because they were accepting the Quran and the Sunnah according to the apparent meaning, according to the clear meaning as it was revealed. And what? The natural inclination, fitrah. The way Allah created us. And their fitrah was al-fitrah salima salima, and salima يعني the sound inclination is sound. يعني what they mean by sound, not the sound, is something that is well, it's good, there's no deficiency in it. That's what is intended by sound. You know what I'm saying? You have a sound heart, meaning a heart that is free from diseases. It doesn't mean the sound of hearing. This is a technical English term.
It sounds good.
Not that one. Yeah, not that one. Not the one that means it sounds good. Rather they say, I'm safe and sound. Somebody gets in a car accident, and this is English language now. We're dealing with the English. Exactly. So they say, how are you? You say, I'm safe and sound. Meaning I'm well. Nothing has harmed me. That's what is intended by sound. So their fitrah was sound. There was nothing busted in it like those people came. لكن أتى هؤلاء المبتدعون فابتدعوا في دين الله تعالى ما ابتدعوا. He said, but those innovators came and they innovated into the religion of Allah what they have innovated. إِمَّا لِقِلَّةِ عِلْمِهِمْ, either because of their lack of knowledge, their deficiency in knowledge, أَوْ لِقُصُورِ فَهْمِهِمْ, or because their lack of understanding or their deficiency in understanding, أَوْ لِسُوءِ قَصْدِهِمْ, or because of their evil intent. فَأَفْسَدُ الدُّنْيَا بِهَذِهِ الْبِدَعِ, so they have corrupted this dunya, this world, with their innovation, التي ابتدعوها, that they have innovated. ولكن كما قلنا إن الله تعالى بحكمته وحمده ومنته وفضله ما من بدعة خرجت إلا قيد الله لها من يدحضها ويبينها. He said, but as we said before, verily Allah Azza wa Jal, with His knowledge, with His praise, with His deserving praise, with His bounty, with His virtue upon His servant, there hasn't been any innovation that came out except that Allah has assigned someone who will expose it and will clarify it to the people. وَمِنْ جُمْلَةِ الَّذِينَ بَيَّنُوا الْبِدْعَ وَقَامُوا قِيَامًا تَامًا بِدَحْدِهَا شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ إِبْنُ تَيْمِيَّةِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ وَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ أَنْ يَجْمَعَنَا بِهِ فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, and among those whom Allah Azza wa Jal have assigned in order to expose innovations and done so in such a perfect manner is the Shaykh al-Islam. And he's called Shaykh al-Islam for a reason. And the scholars have, during his time, even those who opposed him, until today, unanimously agree that Shaykh al-Islam is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the Shaykh of Islam. Yani he is the best Shaykh in terms. Naam, he's the top. Rahimahullah. This man was so dangerous, ya akhwan. If you read the tarjama of the Shaykh, yani his biography, it's mesmerizing. If you read what Imam Zahabi said, Imam Zahabi, he's a known Hafiz, Al-Hafiz Zahabi. He's one of his students. He said, look, after he praised the Shaykh so much, he said, wallahi, if I was to swear by Allah between the Rukn al-Yamani and the Hajar al-Aswad, yani and between the Maqam of Ibrahim and the Rukun, if I was to swear there in this yani virtuous location, I would swear that I have never seen anything, any human being like Ibn Taymiyyah. And he has never seen anyone like him. Ibn Taymiyyah himself has never seen anyone like him. He was in every branch of knowledge. He was so well equipped that if you heard him speak or read his writing, you will think that this is his specialty. You know, people have specialties. You say he's a faqih, he's a mufassir, he's a muhaddith. Everyone has a field in Islam that he is well known of, he's a good speaker, whatever. Shaykh al-Islam, excuse me, anything he would speak about, the people will think, oh, this is his specialty. In everything he would use. Yani, he was ajeeb.
He's special in everything.
Memory, using al-istidlal. Yani, using the evidence at the right time. Picking the evidence from the Quran, the Sunnah to refute the innovators. He would study the methodology of the Mubtadi'ah and the philosophers. He would study theirs, break it down, think on their behalf, and answer, refute them without them saying any word. He would tell them, you say you believe that such and such and such. If you mean by this that, then I will say that, and he will refute. And if you meant by that, then the answer is that. He will leave them with nothing to say. He will speak, explain their understanding, and he will refute it from the Quran and the Sunnah. He doesn't even need them to speak. He would do his own research, understand the innovators, and nail them down. Yani, he was ajeeb. He was an amazing man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. And he was those who came during a crucial time in Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jal has revived Islam through Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And they say, and in evidence for that, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Antum shuhada'ullah fi ardi." You are the witnesses of Allah on His earth. When the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah died, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people who prayed his janazah everywhere, except three people from all the Muslims. Only three people did not come to the janazah because they were afraid. Then all the Muslims in the world prayed for his janazah, for Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and he died in prison, rahimahullah, because the innovators imprisoned him, and again the Sultan.
In the kingdom?
No. This was in Damascus. In Damascus, he was in Damascus. He was in Egypt. Wherever he would go, they would imprison him, because he was the Mubtadi'ah had a methodology. He's coming ruining everything for them. And they were close to the Sultan, to the person, the Amir. And so he's coming and he's ruining their relationship. And they want authority. So they started refuting him anyways. You have to read the biography. It's online. You go to online and you put the biography of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and you can get the story of Shaykh al-Islam. And you will be mesmerized when you read what the people, what the scholars have said about him. هذا الرجل الذي نفع الله بما أتاه من فضله ومن على الأمة بمثله ألف ألف هذه العقيدة كما قلت إجابة لطلب أحد قضاة واسط الذي شكى إليه ما كان الناس عليه من البدع وطلب منه أن يؤلف هذه العقيدة فألفها. This man that Allah has benefited him through what he has given him from knowledge and from his bounty, and Allah has bestowed upon this ummah, this particular man had authored this particular book, this Aqidah, the creed, as I told you before, the Shaykh, based on a request from one of the judges from a city called Wasit, where he complained to him what the people were upon from innovation. So he asked him to put together this creed, the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So the Shaykh, rahimahullah, put together this small, actually, book that is in a compilation of verses and narrations from the Quran, from the Prophet sallam, explaining the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah pertaining to the names and attributes of Allah, along with some of the statements of the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, next week we will begin with the actual Sharh. Now this was all the introduction, because before you go into the subject matter, you need to know what you are getting into. Why are we discussing this? So alhamdulillah, we're done with that. Now, next week inshallah, we'll begin with the actual words of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, where he begins Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and he mentions the Aqidah, and Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah will be explaining it word by word, linguistically, legally, eloquency, in every aspect. Very extensive book. If Allah blesses us to complete this book, you will be much more knowledgeable than what you were before you came across this book. Bi-Ithnillah Azza wa Jal. Because this is profound knowledge, abundance of knowledge. And the more you know Allah, the better you worship Allah. Because this is all about knowing who Allah is. And the objective is to know who you're worshipping. You can't have misconceptions about Him. You cannot think things about Him that are not true. You have to worship Him according to what He revealed to you, and according to what He wants you to understand. So this is the objective of the book. هذا والله تعالى أعلم. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. جزاكم الله خير. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.